natural ability that's you can't coach. It's hard to coach.
For me, he's one of the most talented players in the country.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
Now you're welcome back. So very happy to say Eric Donovan has joined us. He was in action in Glasgow over the weekend. It was a third round stoppage against the very brilliant Robesi Ramirez, 28 years of age, a gold medalist in London and in Rio, and is now making his way in the pro game. So disappointment, I'm sure. Eric, you're very welcome. Great to have you with us.
Good evening, Joe. Thank you.
Just for anyone listening, you can see you've been in the wars a bit. That's a big old black eye. How are you feeling generally?
Naturally down, you know, naturally hurt. Gutted that I couldn't come away with a better result. But, I mean, overall, physically I'm okay. I know I don't look okay, but I am. Physically, I'm good. You know, black eye to show the marks and the six stitches as well over the eye. Actually, there were two previous cuts that were just probably a half an inch between both, and but they were from previous fights, and he just opened them up with a short little uppercut. And but you know, I was unlucky, very unfortunate in the second round that two previous cuts open up straight away, you know. So the task was hard enough as it was without having the blood trickling into the eye and then just completely taking away 50% of my vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is that generally, from a boxer's point of view, is that the only issue with the cut? Like, if you get a cut on your cheekbone, is that a cause of concern or worry during a fight for any reason?
Yeah, it really depends on the location of the cut. If you get one right down on the, maybe say the very, very edge of your eye, maybe the very edge of your eyebrow, there's a very good chance that the blood will follow your facial features, the design in your face, and just kind of avoid your eye, just kind of go by it and maybe down along your cheekbone, and that's pretty good. But where mine was, it came straight over the eyebrow and into the eye, and it just made the task even more difficult from the second round on. Yeah.
Yes, that was his uppercut in the second, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't even a big punch, but like, you know, it was just, I wouldn't mind. It was something we looked at as well. It's a signature punch that he throws too, you know, but he disguises the punch very well. He shapes up like he's just going to throw straight, and then he whips it up underneath. And I almost kind of crunched down onto the punch almost, and it just hit me at the perfect angle, like to just open up the two cuts, you know. And the punch wasn't in any way effective in terms of, it wasn't hurtful, it didn't stun me, anything, but as soon as it hit, I felt the blood trickling down straight away, and I was kind of like, ah, damn, you know.
Yeah. A fighter in advance is never going to reveal if camp was good, bad or indifferent. They always say it was a great camp, because why are you going to broadcast any kind of weakness to your opponent? How was your camp?
Yeah, no, absolutely no problems at the camp at all. Like, I really pushed hard, you know. I was in training camp anyway from just before Christmas. No, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't kind of, let's say, it wasn't a kind of a training camp for an opponent of this kind of magnitude. It was one for, I was in training camp for a fight that I had planned at the end of January in Belfast. And we didn't even have an opponent yet, but, you know, we weren't thinking of anybody along the lines of Robesi Ramirez, you know. But anyway, when that show got pulled, I kind of enjoyed Christmas a little bit much then. I was like, ah, sure, that show's off now. And Mark, my manager, Mark Dunlop, said, we're not going to be able to get availability in the venue in February or March either. So it's going to be, could be a while before we're back in the ring. So I was kind of like, okay, let's have you at Christmas, you know. And I was enjoying myself with food, and as you do at Christmas, and yeah, put up a few pounds, all right. But then seven, 8 weeks out, when I got the confirmation that, hey, you know, we have a possibility of fighting Robesi Ramirez at the end of February, what you think? What do you want to do? And I was already, like, I was training, you know, but I was a little bit heavy, but that's probably the only thing.
Yeah.
I was a little bit heavy. So I took off a good bit of weight. But in saying that, a lot of people, everybody in my camp, people said I never looked as healthy on the weight. You know, I did feel really strong.
Okay, good.
Felt really good. I did take off good, but, you know, probably close to 20 pounds, I'd say, in 7 weeks, yeah.
Right, okay, which isn't nothing either. But it's in the main, it went pretty well. And so you were very familiar with Rubisi Ramirez. I think you'd even commentated on him, like I said, a two-time gold medalist. So you would have known the quality you were up against. I remember speaking to you pre-fight a few weeks before it, and you certainly said you'd seen a few things, or you thought of a few things, maybe game plan-wise, which might work. You didn't want to reveal them, naturally enough, on national radio and beyond ahead of the fight. What were the things, Eric, or the areas where you thought you might find some joy?
Well, one of them was to never move to my right, you know, to move to his left. Move to my left, which is his right, because he's a southpaw. He's like a mirror image of myself. And we're both southpaws, you know, leading with our right hands. And as Paki said to me, keep moving to your left, keep moving away from his left hand, you know, because he tries to set those targets. He tries to set those traps to bring you onto the left hand over the top. And another area that we looked at as well is that, you know, he drops pace as the rounds go on, almost casual a little bit, you know, if he's not kind of having things his own way, he just kind of goes through, you know, canters through the rounds. And we, you know, one thing that I have in abundance is a big engine, huge engine. So we thought, like, if we can be within the fight, you know, match him, you know, for maybe up until the halfway stage, then, you know, that we might be able to start pushing him back, because I'm 5'8", he's 5'5". You know, we might start being able to use our physicality. Another area that we kind of gained a bit of, strength from and kind of hope from was that we didn't believe he was a fully fledged featherweight. You know, we thought he should maybe super bantam, you know, for 5'5", he's quite small. And he looked a bit chubby as well around the waist and stuff, you know, so he's not very lean. But, you know, I found that out the hard way in the ring in the first round on the night. He's super strong, absolutely powerful, like, and his actual size actually works into his advantage, because he's so small, he's almost rooted to the canvas, you know. It's got that low center gravity, and he's a real force. A real force in the ring, that when he's hitting you, he's like, he's hitting you with his whole body. His technique is incredible. He would have been earmarked, you know, from as a young child in primary school, and taken out of the primary school and put into a Cuban boxing academy, which would have educated him and schooled him. And, you know, that's why he went on to win, you know, become one of Cuba's most successful boxers, Olympic champion at 19 years of age, and then repeated defeat at 23 years of age. You know, he's genetically, like, he's phenomenal. You know, he's only 5'5". Zelfa Barrett's 5'9" or 5'10", but he's the same length arms as Zelfa Barrett, you know?
Yeah.
He's got the same length arms. He's just an incredible,
he's built
incredible
for it.
Athlete.
He's built for it. So, yeah. So those initial seconds and maybe a minute or two in the ring where you're getting a sense for what he's really like, that must jump out to you. This must be crossing your mind. My God, this guy's got a power here. Maybe I knew he'd be strong, but you hadn't fully appreciated that. They're kind of worrying realizations, I would think.
Yeah, look, I'm smart enough, intelligent enough to know good boxer. You don't become a double Olympic champion for nothing. You know, I went into this fight with my eyes wide open. I knew it was going to be a mammoth task, but I never once thought it would be impossible. You know, if I thought it would be impossible, I wouldn't have took the fight. You know, they're the kind of things we tell ourselves. You know, any athlete, especially in an individual sport, you know, you got to have that self-belief, that self-confidence, and you got to try and find that strength, that belief, that hope from somewhere. And you know, my preparation and my training, like, you know, I said, like, if I can put everything I have into this, just maybe I might be able to pull it off. And you hold on to that. But if I don't pull it off, maybe I could go the distance with him. And wouldn't that be a great moral victory to say you got in with a two-time Olympic gold medalist and you gave him a good run for his money?
Yeah.
Like, that's the way I was thinking, you know, and never in a million years did I think it was going to be over as quickly as it was. Sad in a way, because I found the first round, like, I was just trying to, like, as Packy said to me, Packy was great, good, great tactics, great advice. He was like, just warm yourself into this, Eric, have a look at him, nothing silly, you don't need to do anything crazy, silly, just warm yourself into this fight, you know, keep moving to your left, stay away from his left hand. And we did, you know, as best we could, but then I kind of lost my balance in the first round, and he kind of advanced at me, and he kind of threw a punch, it was a shoulder punch or whatever, it caught me. Anyway, I got caught on my heels and I fell over. But a punch kind of landed there too, not on the head, kind of on the body, and he kind of helped me on my way, but I kind of got a count for that, but it was more embarrassing than anything else.
Yeah, even on commentary, to be fair, they said straight away, oh, look, that's not a proper knockdown. Yeah. He's just caught him off balance. I guess where anyone watching, because it was on Sky Showcase, and a lot of people would have seen it, the uppercut certainly in the second round, which we mentioned, which is the cut, and then it was a third round stoppage. Certainly on commentary, they were saying that he seemed to be that touch sharper, and, you know, with the jab, you were finding it pretty tricky at times to stay out of harm's way. I guess that ties in with, you know, the reach that you're talking about, and just the talent and the timing and the speed that he has. It was obviously difficult for you to keep moving all the time out of harm's way.
Yeah, like, in terms of energy and fitness and conditioning and all that, like, I was absolutely fantastic, you know, as best as I've ever been. Like, so I was never really tired. I suppose, if anything, he was more settled from the opening bell than I was. He just jumped into his stride and he found his distance, found his comfort zone, and he had me on edge. That's what he did. And I suppose his presence as well, even though, like, he was very small, he seemed to have a far better presence in the ring than me. Ring generalship. He seemed to be able to kind of control things. And
sorry to interrupt, actually, because I'm do pick up on that other point. I'm recycling in touch what the commentary team were saying. But when you talked there about his control of the ring, they were saying, like, you're a real technician, as we know, and you were trying to give him angles he didn't want. He seemed to have an ability to cut you off from doing that and get you pretty quickly back into the angles he wanted.
Absolutely, yeah. He's just very advanced in his thinking, in his technique and everything. Just, like, you know, I knew I was in against someone very special, Joe, you know, very good, very early on. And I knew I was going to have my work cut out. But never did I feel overawed, you know. I never felt like, oh my God, this is like, oh, you know, I just said, okay, right, I understood that this is quite difficult now, but I need to try and resolve this. I need to try and find my way into this fight. And then after the second round, well, after the embarrassing knockdown in the first, you know, we kind of just had to compartmentalize, don't mind that, Packy said, look, just get back in, you know, just keep moving to your left. Keep working that jab. Keep him at the end of your jab. Don't allow him in. And warm yourself into this fight. And then in the second round, even though I did get cut, I felt a little bit better about myself. Like, and I felt like I was starting to feel him and feel his punches and blocking some of his shots. Yeah, he was throwing a couple of jabs and getting them in there, but there was no real power or no effect on them. So when I got to the end of the second round, albeit kind of thrown by the cut, but I was happier in myself, much happier than I was after the first. And I was kind of like, okay, I'm going in the right direction here, you know. Now, we always thought that with the second half of the fight is where we would maybe start to get a bit of success in the fight, you know, that we might be able to start pushing him back. But obviously went out in the third round and the blood started trickling again. I stepped forward, you know, I pushed him back. I thought, like, you know, this is good. I stepped forward, hit him a right uppercut to a hook to the body and a hook up the middle straight up between his defense and landed both of the shots. But I don't think the headshot had really much of an effect on him. But what it done was the opposite of what I hoped it would do. It woke him up. It woke him up instead of putting him back. But anyway, then he just really advanced at me again. And of course, his balance seemed to be the way he moved was a very formidable kind of a strong force, a strong presence in the ring. It's like his feet are stuck to the ground, rooted to the ground very strongly. I was kind of a little bit imbalanced, kind of a bit shaky, jerky on my toes, and I went back on my heels. Kind of, again, wasn't really balanced when he came, when he advanced forward, and I turned my right shoulder to him, and it was my right eye that I couldn't see through. So I almost braced myself. I turned my right shoulder, had my both hands covering my face, and he threw a left hook that hit me behind the ear. So it's almost like between the back of your head and the side of your head, right there. And it just really scrambled my brains. It was really a powerful punch. One of the heaviest punches I've ever been hit with. And I know Zalfa Barrett hit me with a big punch, but that kind of took my feet out from under me and left me on the canvas. That was more like instant and boom, you're on the ground. But this one here almost had that ricocheting effect, that it was going on and on, like boom, 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 boom in my head. You know, it was really serious punch. And then, of course, your instinct is to, you know, you're a fighter, you want to fight, you know, and referee made a good call.
I think he did. Yeah, you could see you were shaking. And geez, the way you've described it there, that does not sound pleasant.
No.
At 36, this was your 16th fight. Where does that leave you? Where does that leave your future and your appetite to keep going?
Oh, yeah, I knew this question was going to come. Look, I mean, when I started out on this journey of professional boxing, I was 3 years in retirement. And I really, really wasn't doing much in terms of, but I kept up a bit of fitness and stuff like that, but I wasn't really competing or doing anything. A few sparring sessions here and there, and that was about it. But, you know, I started off and I set myself a goal of an Irish title. I said, wouldn't it be wonderful, you know? I won that Irish title, Celtic title, you know, I got there. And then I said, maybe you could push towards a European, you know, and unfortunately the European title never came around. There was one stage where I was supposed to box for the EU title and I picked up an injury, so it never actually materialized. But I got two offers to step up to world level, one against Zalfa Barrett and one against Robesio Ramirez. You know, I came very close to pulling it off against Barrett.
Yeah.
And I didn't really get close at all against Robesio Ramirez. But ultimately, I came up short on both of them, you know. So world level is obviously, you know, at 36, it's just a bridge too far, step too far, and probably turned professional too late in my life to actually really be serious about challenging for world honours. So I don't think I'd go back to that level. You know, I don't think I'd go back, even if anybody offers me, you know, whatever, a chance, a shot. I don't think so. But if there is an opportunity at European, maybe I'll consider it. But I am very much well aware that I'm in the final chapters of my career, you know. I'm very happy as well. I'm very proud of everything I've achieved. I'm not done. I'm going away at the weekend with my wife Laura. We're going to Rome, and we're really, really looking forward to just a nice little break away. And when I come back, I'll have a chat with Mark Dunlop, my manager, and I'll talk with Laura and my family and my sponsorship team as well. Do you know something, Joe? When I got the call to step up to world level, like, you know, and fight Barrett and fight Robesio Ramirez. Now, you have to understand that I'm being brought in to lose.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
They're not bringing me in there to win.
No, you're cannon fodder.
Yeah, I'm the B side. I'm brought in for these guys, to professional A side guys who are on the cusp of world championship titles, to showcase their skills in front of everybody. And I'm aware that I'm not, you know, I'm under no illusion. You know what I mean? Like that things are in my favor. They're not. But that's when I say, right, a challenge accepted, you know. But for me to do that, I needed a lot of backing, you know. I had to talk to sponsors. I had to talk to my coach, Packy, Mark, my family, because I'm a self-employed person. I had to take time off work to try and do this, and I needed people to believe in me and back me. So I just want to very quickly, just if you don't mind, just want to mention my sponsorship team, who've really got behind me and allowed me to chase my dreams. So, Bearing Point, okay, they've been a great support. The Owl Shebeen at Thai, A&A Pharmacy at Thai, Liffey Crane Hire, Novo Technologies, Smart Techs, Vicky McGinn Physiotherapy in Drogheda, and Sean Kilroy Fitness in Drogheda. They've got behind me and let me chase my dreams for the last 8 weeks and made sure that everything was okay, that I didn't have to worry about too much. All I had to do was focus on my training and resting and be in the best possible shape, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, every way. And I can't thank them enough. Because I don't know, like as I said, I don't know if I will fight again. I really don't know. I'm not saying I'm retiring or anything like that, because I don't know what else is out there for me. If there's a European shot, I will definitely consider it. But if not, I think I would be happy with everything I have achieved. And walking out in front of 15,000 fans the other night, you know, was a dream come true. Yeah, I would have set up.
It looked amazing. Looked great.
It was absolutely incredible. And I would have set a home a few years ago, and I would have been dealing with my own demons, my own inner demons, and the crutches that I was using to get through life at times, at very difficult times in my life. And I would have sat down and looked at big fights in Vegas, big fights in New York. And I would have been like thinking, oh God, I'd love to be there. I wonder what that would be like, you know, or I could have done that, you know. In the back of my mind, I was saying, maybe I could have done that. But do you know what? I've done that now. I actually done it, and it didn't get the result that I wanted, but I actually done it. I'm only after thinking of one thing while I was talking there as well. A huge shout out to Blackstone Motors. They, I signed a brand ambassador, 1 year sponsorship with them this year, and they gave me a car for the year to drive. So I want to thank them as well for their support. Sorry, I forgot them. Yeah.
No, you're good. You're good. Listen, and we've talked to you before about what an amazing thing it has been for you to get to this level and the hurdles that you overcome. And listen, you had a go. Like how many of us in life don't have a go? So you have a lot to be very, very proud of. And we'll talk to you again, I'm sure, obviously, whatever you decide. And I think you're right to take some time and see what's out there, European level or otherwise. So Eric Donovan, rest up. I hope you enjoy Rome. And like I said, everybody really rooting for you and very proud of what you have done. So thanks a mil, Eric.
Pleasure. Thank you, Joe.
All right.